This morning's text is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 11. If you wish to follow with me in the Pew Bible, it is located on page 947 of your Pew Bible, if you wish to follow along. If you're grabbing one of the books in the front, it would be the black one. It would be the black one. Listen now and hear God's word for you from Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his passion, by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Holy God, we are thankful for the challenges we find in Scripture. For even in a story which is familiar that we are aware of, if we look, if we pause, if we ponder, we learn new things. We encounter you in new ways. So speak to us in the new. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. Like I said, Thursday was an important day in the life of the church that many people in the church may not have been aware of. Or if they were aware, they knew that it happens, but maybe they didn't know it just happened. It happens sometimes. Is it happening now? Frankly, in the Protestant church, in our church, we don't speak much about this. We do not recognize this as the beginning of the church, but we should. Pentecost next week. On Pentecost, we will talk about the empowerment of the church as the church takes its first steps, as the tongues of fire come down onto the children of God in the upper room and they preach and are sent to the world. But today, as we think of the ascension, that is the birth of the church. The ascension of our Lord, as I have said, is the moment where the disciples find themselves in a unique situation. Of all the things they could be, I think the thing they feel and experience the most is disorientation. They thought they understood what it means to follow Jesus. They believed the direction of ministry was clear, where he was going. It was straightforward. Even after his resurrection, the remaining disciples seem to come to terms with what Jesus, this new Jesus, this resurrected Jesus looks like. Maybe things changed a bit, but this is Jesus and we know him. But at the ascension, on Thursday, their expectations are shaken completely by the Messiah. I imagine as they're watching and sort of witnessing this whole thing, disorientation sets in for them. This is not to be taken as they felt confused or as if maybe their faith lacked. Is this really Jesus? What does this mean? No, instead, the things in their lives which have seemed solid and sure and foundational are now a little less, a little more disorientation. Jesus leaves us behind. Now what? Well, all of life carries with it the possibility this possibility. These disciples feel it in a personal way, and you can see it if you're looking at the text this morning. But as you can imagine, as we think about the ascension today, I don't think they're the only ones in their spiritual walks who have felt disoriented by what Jesus is or appears to not be doing with them. Not judging, being honest. The question that lies behind this narrative, as Jesus takes the disciples out of the city and they go up onto the hill and they watch him ascended, whatever that looks like, right? And the two men appear before them. The question that seems to come up is, now what? While Luke will record this question more eloquently and more theologically, I am certain that's what the disciples are thinking as Jesus leaves them behind. Now what am I supposed to do? It's a question that begins to touch the disorientation the disciples feel and that you and I have felt from time to time in our spiritual walks. When I start thinking about disorientation and trying to come up with a real world example of it, sadly, I can only think of a couple of times, which are both humorous, as my children will tell you, watching me be disoriented. This feeling is not synonymous with the feeling that I get when we go on vacation and I am forced to ride the teacups at Walt Disney World and get spun and spun and spun and spun until I want to just die. I'm sure as I walk off of that thing and as my wife puts her arm around me and says, "Are you okay?" and I pretend to be fine, that I look disoriented. The world that I knew, the way that I navigated from point A to point B to the wall I will sit on for an hour, looks different than it did 90 seconds ago. Things have changed. Now what am I supposed to do? In that moment, as I am disoriented, I am breathing slowly. If you see me, I'm leaning back a bit, looking for the drinking fountain, looking for that place next to it that sells the frozen lemonade. Their disorientation relates to expectations and presumptions of how life is supposed to be. And now that moment has happened and everything feels turned upside down. He said he would always be with me. He said I'll always be there for you. And now he's gone. And the world begins to spin a little bit. And they don't quite understand. If that is not enough, twice in the text, the disciples are told, yes, he's leaving and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Twice they are reminded that Jesus goes away physically. And while that's not what they want to hear, what they don't realize is he is now going to become closer to them than they could ever understand. He will be with them. If he chose to stay with them physically forever, he could do all the work himself, all the ministry. He could meet every need. He could teach every person. He could touch every sick individual. He would become their spiritual crutch that they could lean upon. In moments of crisis, he could say, "Don't worry about it. I will handle it for you." But that's not what it means to be the church. Now what? Now what as we go forward? We move on. We take and we go build the church. In spite of these feelings and in spite of the concreteness that the disciples are seeking that's not there, he gives them a calling to live into in this moment. We preach Christ. We are told to preach Christ, to talk about what he has done. We preach Christ because, as those two men in white will say, he will come back to you in the same way. We preach the word because we have been given the Holy Spirit. Not only on Pentecost, which is to come, and which we will celebrate wearing red next week, but we speak and we preach Christ because of this moment, that disoriented feeling they have. As we learn, he is still with us. Now what? He is in my heart. He is there. This is the exclamation point on the resurrection of Jesus. But that exaltation, that thing which is going to happen for all the power and glory it entails, it also does imply some distance. He won't be able to stay forever and talk to everyone forever. So he tells us to do it. It is your responsibility because you too have had that now what moment in your walk and not known how to get through it and felt the whole world was spinning around you. But Jesus is here. and we preach Christ. We have all had days when the grind of life feels too great, when the substance of the world in which we live and its corruption makes it feel as though we can't effect any change. Nothing good will come of what we do. But the ascension tells us otherwise. Now what? Now we preach. Now we share. This text stands as a reminder of what he has done for us and how even if we feel lost, alone, abandoned, or shaken in a world that is lost, we have received God into our lives and the substance is there for us to share. This text tells me that while I would choose to stand on the hillside and gaze up into the heavens forever wondering when my Lord will come back, I have to get on with it and preach the word God has given me. I have to tell my stories. I have to share my narrative. I have to talk about what it feels like to be lost and to be found. I have to get off the hillside, wishing he would come back for me and start sharing the truth of his word in a world that does not want to hear what Jesus has to say sometimes. For it will call their behavior or their lack of belief into question, and it will call them to follow him. The ascension of Jesus is the moment of glory. It is a moment of glory, as it is also a moment of loss and confusion, all wrapped up into the promise of the Holy Spirit that is to come in just a few days. Even though there is some measure of ambiguity on what is coming of the Holy Spirit looks like and how it will shape the church is instructed in this text to be of joy, to not feel alone, to remember that he is with them permanently. In order to become the church, the disciples will have to let go of their expectations of what their new future will look like and embrace the truth that while it looks and feels like they are by themselves, that they are isolated, that they are alone, they will never be alone again. On Thursday, as you commuted to work, as you went to appointments, celebrate again the ascension of Christ in your life. Be faithful to who God calls you to be when you have the now what moment and feel lost and disoriented and confused. Remember, he is with you in a way he's never been before, and share what that means in the life of the people around you. Let us pray now together. Gracious.